This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, the 8 at 8, the Ocho, eight stories for you. NFL draft is starting back up tonight, so let's start there.
One.
The Texans. I would say, Seth, if I had to sum up night one for the Texans, a night on which they didn't have a first-round pick. First of all, this was way less painful than the other times they haven't had a first-round pick, because we're just dealing with a much better football team. But
I would say after Deshaun's, like when we didn't have a first-round pick because of Deshaun,
2018
wasn't painful either. That made sense.
That wasn't bad.
Okay, we get
Except
it.
We didn't have a first or a second-round pick in that one.
That made it boring.
Yeah, Justin Reed, third-round pick, was their first pick
and
that
yet
year.
It still made sense.
Yeah.
It wasn't fun, but it made sense.
I didn't feel bad about the team then. Now, the couple of times it happened after that stunk in 2020 and 2021, that was horrible. This was fun, actually, to be able to sit back and watch and mock a little bit and point and laugh at some of the things teams were doing, especially maybe in the division. But I would say, to sum up, because we'll go into more detail on this a little later on this hour, but just to sum up here, it was a good night for the Texans because the draft was so heavily skewed to offense last night. And the Texans, I don't think, are sifting through prospects on the offensive side of the ball at this level of the draft nearly as much as they are the defensive side of the ball, where only 9 defensive players went off the board last night.
9 defensive players.
9 players.
Now, was that a record as well?
Yes,
as far
I believe
as, okay,
so.
Okay, right.
Yeah,
I think it was 15. Whatever the record for offensive players was going to be, it was pretty. It wasn't much more than 50%.
Yeah.
As you would think.
Most offensive players, most quarterbacks taken in the top 12, most consecutive offensive players taken, not just to start a draft, but at any point in any draft.
To not have
14 consecutive.
Latu was the first defensive player taken to the Colts at number 15.
Yes.
Well, even. And honestly, even after 10 picks, it was already a record for quarterbacks, because five quarterbacks in the first 10 picks was already a record.
Yep.
So then they just stacked on with 6 in the first 12.
Yeah, man. So this is good news, I think. The last night was a good night for the Texans, given what's been pushed down to them.
Right. And if you're going to go, I mean, they retained Dalton Schultz, so they spent, you know, that doesn't feel like they went out and got anything, but they had already, and then they went out and get Stephon Diggs, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
The holes on offense, really right now, the most obvious potential hole is at left guard and at center, but the Texans do have draft picks there that they still consider unproven, but that are either coming off of injury. So Kenyon Green, Patterson at left guard, Kendrick Green that I think they might feel better about than certainly I did.
All right, yeah.
I thought I was really down on Kendrick Green when they first brought him in, and then after he got a couple games in here, I was like, well, that wasn't bad at all.
Okay, yeah.
So I think they're still waiting out the upside at center and guard.
Yep.
So, defense makes perfect and total sense.
2.
As far as storylines surrounding the draft outside of the Texans last night, I would say the one that's getting dissected the most this morning that I've listened to on national radio, we've got the TV on in here, so we see Get Up and First Take and everything else, and just on social media in general, has been the selection of Michael Penix by Atlanta with the 8th overall pick. I think the quarterbacks getting picked near the top or at the top were noteworthy, but we knew that was coming for the most part. 3 quarterbacks taken with the first 3 picks. Penix Jr., A, going ahead of J.J. McCarthy, but B, going to a team that just spent or is about to spend $100 million guaranteed on its quarterback who hasn't taken a snap yet. This is not Aaron Rodgers, who's been in the building for 10 years and they draft his replacement and You know, there's a relationship there already. This is Kirk Cousins coming to a new team, and before he's even had a practice with the new team, they're drafting his replacement with the eighth pick.
Right, and one of our listeners earlier said, well, hey, look, Kirk Cousins isn't going to be around forever, and they're going to win too many games, especially in that division, to where you're not going to be able to draft high at quarterback again. I say that's, I like your logic and your reasoning, but it's also a great reason to draft Spencer Rattler in the third.
Yes.
You know, yeah. Or maybe trade for somebody a couple years from now or what have you. Planning that new addition, planning the addition on the home that you haven't built yet, I don't think is smart and sound financial management. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like you're in a draft. We're already at that point. Four quarterbacks had displaced good receivers or anybody offensive weapons that you could have added to Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
Like, so you've already come out ahead, and you just take a guy, a 25-year-old who's had the same knee injured, had two ACLs on the same knee.
Yep.
It's just, it was curious, very
Roma
curious.
Roma Dunze was there from Washington.
Yeah.
Brock Bowers, I mean, I know they've got Kyle Pitts already, but nothing stopping you. I mean, those are two weapons.
There's not a single Falcons fan alive who's like, oh, yeah, Pitts is exactly what we were hoping for.
And Bowers is from Georgia.
Yeah.
You know, like, that would have been a crazy good pick, I think. But they take Michael Penix there. That was a big story. We'll talk about that more as the show rolls on.
Three.
The Astros are not good at baseball. They continued yesterday to not be good at baseball. They lose 3-1 to the Chicago Cubs. Justin Verlander didn't make it out of the fifth inning. He didn't get shelled, but he was not efficient at all. Both these teams, the Cubs especially, had runners on base all day long, and the Astros really had to kind of tiptoe out of some jams, and eventually they couldn't. Eventually, Rafael Montero gives up a run. They bring in Brian Abreu. He gives up a two-run home run to a guy playing in his first game as a major leaguer, and that was the difference. 3-1, the final score. Joe Espada did get ejected for the first time as Astros manager. Here's what it sounded like on the broadcast.
Important in the high altitude, Joe Espada's going to get tossed. Seemed rather calm coming out of the dugout, but Jansen Visconti was the one who was upset. He was the one doing the yelling. Joe just kind of calmly walked out there. I think Joe's seen enough in this stretch of losing 7 out of 8 games.
If he's going to get ejected, I need to see some more animation out of Joe Espada. Get your money's worth, man.
Yeah.
I need to know what he whispered under his breath to the umpire.
It was like, I hope it was really vicious. Yeah. It was maybe a vicious put down.
Right.
It was, it didn't have to be loud and demonstrative because he cut right to the chase.
Or like of a family member of the umpire, like really go, really cross the
line.
Yeah,
they said something like your mother.
About his mom or his wife.
Or, I don't know, red dress, blue dress, or something. I don't know. Yeah. It was something like that. Something very divisive.
What's our confidence level in Joe?
He walked out there and he was like, Trump 24. And it's like, I'll do you right here.
MAGA. He's watching. MAGA.
What's the most divisive thing you could say these days?
make America great again.
Taylor Swift is saving the NFL. Taylor Swift put Travis Kelce over.
Yeah. What is, I mean, I don't even know if we have a body of work that we can even answer the question, but like, what is your confidence level in Joe Espada right now as the manager? Do you feel like they'd be 7-19?
I feel like it's not
with Dusty
I feel
as
like
the
it's
manager.
An invalid question.
Yeah, like you're right. Undefined. It's like dividing by zero.
The question is, I think a better question might be, what percent blame do you put on Joe Espada right now? And it's really hard for me to, other than, you know, this is a problem. Even if I were going to blame Espada for putting Bregman as cleanup to begin the season, a lot of that's just on Bregman. He is, as we know, he's a notoriously slow starter.
He is a notoriously slow starter. And, we've been told that.
He's a
slow starter.
Right.
Thanks, Brandy. So there's that. And like, the pitchers are just, we got a bunch of AAA plus pitchers going out there every day.
Yep.
We got old man Verlander, who's old man Verlander is a basically he was angry at Espada. Like an old man is angry at his son taking his keys from him.
We think. I mean, he had the glove in front of his face. I'm assuming that's what that was, right?
He wasn't, unless he was saying, yeah.
Thanks for taking me out. I really appreciate it.
Thanks. I've saved a lot of face by doing this. Please, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Espada, for taking me out.
You're right. He was pissed. Yeah.
He seemed like he was pissed at being taken out, when really Espada was just doing what any good son should do, which is take the keys away from the old man.
Rescue him from himself.
At some point, yeah. But if you've ever had to take the keys away from an old man, it doesn't go well.
No.
They are rarely in agreement with you on their need to stop driving.
That's right.
Four.
Speaking of Dusty, won the Lifetime Achievement Award thanks to Baseball Digest. This is an award that has just been invented over the last few years.
Didn't even exist back when Dusty was a kid.
Back when it did, or when Dusty was the Astros manager, barely.
You couldn't buy it with a straw penny.
Willie Mays won the inaugural award in 2021, then Vin Scully in 22, Joe Torre last year. This year, the 74-year-old Dusty Baker said, "Receiving this award is a tremendous honor. I never thought that I'd be in the class of people that receive this award. I know that my late mom and dad would be proud of me. This is really special. Oh, I am happy for Dusty Baker winning this award."
Yeah, that is really awesome.
Yep.
No, you talk about lifetime achievement. There's very few people in sports that have the same experience as Dusty would have had, just because, I mean, he's a Marine Corps veteran, right? He was Marines, right? Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure which branch.
But he, like, just, and he played forever.
In
He's
L.A.
been a manager forever. Right. It's just...
like he met a lot of famous people.
That's right. Yeah. He's got a lot of famous friends. Yeah. It's just a different... but at a time back before celebrity culture was what it is now, he knew a lot of celebrities in L.A. who had no interest in just, like, doing a collab on their social media feeds or anything.
Right, right.
They just got together and they did... they put whatever in their bodies
when
that people
men
did
were
back
men.
In the day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Congrats to Dusty.
Bye.
Chancellor Johnson from Channel 2 sat down with Jonathan Grenard, former Texans defensive end, and they, I'm assuming, had a wide-ranging conversation. The only part that I've seen is this part that popped up on my social media. But as we recall, Jonathan Grenard was the selection that was made during the 2020 draft, where the Texans thought they had a deal locked up to move back with Detroit, and somehow it fell through. Bill O'Brien blamed Jack Easterby, it looked like, for the deal falling through, and went to the point of pointing at the Zoom screen, because we weren't allowed to be near each other at that point. COVID had just hit. And pointed at the screen and said, "That's your pick, Jack." That was the Jonathan Grenard pick.
Mm-hmm.
Chancellor handed Jonathan Grenard a tablet and played the video for him. It sounded like Grenard... for sure knew about the video.
He had never really seen it, but not really like sat down and studied it or anything. It seemed pretty, I believe him.
He definitely doesn't obsess over
right,
it.
Right.
Like he doesn't go back and watch it every day and use it as fuel, but he revealed something about maybe how things, once Grenard got in the building, what it felt like for him with Bill O'Brien.
I never really got a full story on it, but I remember seeing this video.
What was your reaction?
Yeah, like, so... I remember seeing this part like maybe a day after the draft, and I remember seeing that it was the infamous like hands up, like what are we doing type deal, and like that's what I like got from it. But man, I remember getting drafted. That was like a huge time. Like it was a blessing. Like I got drafted in the NFL. I always wanted to hear my name called, and it did happen. But as we know, like I got a text from some of my friends. They sent me the video. Like, yo, what's this about? Like, you seen your coach doing this? And I'm like. I never got a true story on it. I heard rumors about it, and I heard it was like maybe like it was a pick that was supposed to be there, and then somebody backed out. But as we know, like we ain't dumb. Like we see the videos, and we know like all right, something went wrong there. And if you read your lips, you can just tell like he's saying this is your guy. Like you know, like just know that he didn't want me. I just put it that way. If he could have went another option, he maybe could have.
Didn't sound like O'Brien really loved Grenard all that much.
Well, I mean, I guess that's what he's saying based on the video. I know he didn't really go into whether he felt that way in the building when he got there or anything.
I don't know. He kind of confirmed it again, like that he felt like he wasn't.
He said
really
he
wanted.
Didn't want me.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know though. That's where I couldn't tell.
So,
I don't.
Okay. See, I listened to me, and maybe I went in with a preconceived notion on it.
I wanted to hear more about whether, like, yeah, and that's what it felt like when I was in the building, or after I got there. Some coaches can't help it. Like, some coaches just, they hate a draft pick, and they treat them like they hate them, and it's like a grudge match between the coach
and
the
GM or the scout. I'm going to go back and watch the whole thing during the break, because I feel like I came away from that feeling like, oh, yeah, for sure, O'Brien didn't want it. And he only had to play for O'Brien for 4 games. O'Brien was fired 4 games into that season.
Oh, yeah. Good for you, John Grenard. I forgot that was...
Way to get him fired.
I thought Grenard had him for a year before that happened.
No, just 4 games.
Six.
We'll get to these quick. HOA Florio is all over the Marvin Harrison Jr. not signing his NFLPA licensing agreement. Marvin Harrison Jr., in case you haven't heard, drafted 4th last night, but you can't get his jersey in team stores in Arizona because he has not signed the document that... I guess all players just go ahead and sign blindly to be part of the licensing deal.
Yeah, it's one of those.
NFL.
Well, you know, whenever you talk to the NFLPA your rookie year, there's a whole lot of like, let's just sign the damn thing. All right, rookie, just sign it. Be one of us.
Yeah. Marvin Harrison Jr. is not doing that. and Florio is taking up for him. He might not sign. He might retain his full rights. This is Florio without joining the herd. Maybe he'll design and sell his own jersey. Maybe he'll do his own deal with EA to appear in the Madden game.
Florio's a union scab?
Players,
he's a union buster, this dude.
Players must join the union. They are not required to join the group licensing portion of it.
Yeah.
They retain their full NIL rights. For a new age of college players who profited from NIL, why sign anything away to anyone else?
Yeah.
Now, that is interesting, actually.
It is. No, it is actually pretty interesting.
Yeah, like the players now may come in a little more like, oh,
I was loaded up to be anti-Florio on this, but that's a good point. It's not the actual union. It's just something that collectively all the players do. But, okay, I could get into the weeds on this. There used to be something called the Quarterbacks Club, where the quarterbacks were kind of set aside from a lot of the other collective bargaining and licensing and all that stuff. In that the quarterbacks all got together and said, you know what, this is kind of screwing over our buddies, because now, like, we can't increase the pool because so they decided to get rid of the quarterbacks club. And I think that's, like, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, or vice versa. There's a little bit of that going on. But, yeah, in this age of NIL, I don't know if players are wired to think that way. Like Nick Saban said a few months ago, they're very much more open about just, like, hey, what's in it for numero uno than they used to be.
Yep.
Seven.
All right, real quick, NBA scores, and then I want to get to one more thing. Nuggets beat the Lakers last night. They're on the verge of sweeping the Lakers. They're up 3-0 in that series. Sixers get a win against the Knicks, so that series is 2-1 Knicks. And the Magic get a big win over the Cavs by 40, 121-83. So that series is 2-1 Cleveland right now.
Eight.
All right, this is pretty funny. Deontay Johnson, the wide receiver, former Steelers wide receiver,
traded away by the Steelers to the Panthers.
To the Panthers.
And it was one of those things where it was kind of curious, except that it sounded like he'd worn out his welcome in Pittsburgh.
It sounded like he got a little tough
like
to
either
deal with.
Attitude or something like
so
that.
So he's got a new lease on life. He's in Carolina. I think he's viewed as like a kind of, not a savior, but somebody who's really going to help out Bryce Young. Yeah. Probably feels more important there than maybe he did in Pittsburgh, where they had George Pickens and other, you know. So he went to dinner, apparently, the other night with Dave Canales, the head coach of the Panthers, the new head coach of the Panthers, and here's how it went.
Because Dave, he was cool. To be honest, at first I didn't know he was the head coach when I went out to dinner with him. But I'm like, because he was just talking, like, this his energy he brings, and then when I after the dinner, I'm like, somebody told me he was the head coach. I'm like, oh, I was so surprised. Like, but other than that, like, I love his energy. So, like I said, I'm excited to play for him.
Who did he think he was?
Some up-and-coming young, guy's got a future, obviously.
Deontay Johnson's
like, this guy's got big things. He could be a head coach someday.
Deontay Johnson's going back to the car with whoever drove him to the dinner, and he's like, man, I like this Dave. Dave's cool, man.
I love that. Okay, this isn't like when he first learned of the trade or anything.
Oh, no.
He's been traded.
Yeah.
He's out to dinner with people from the Panthers.
Right.
At no point between the time he was traded and when he's out to dinner with these Panthers executives did he even think to ask, hey, who's the head coach of the Panthers these days anyway?
You know what that tells me? It tells me that Dave Canales is really good at connecting on a non-football level with his players.
Yeah.
Because I would think at some point if they were hardcore football talking, I think it would have come up that he's a head coach.
God, I wish I could go through life like this. No, honestly, think about Deontay Johnson to just be going into that dinner and, like, at no point, I don't know if it ever even crossed his mind, but they're like, hey, who's the head coach anyway?
Did he even know why they were going to dinner?
Like, I don't think he, like, the fact that he's telling that story, it's like he's not even aware of the fact that it would be weird that he doesn't know who the head coach of his new team
is. No, he's, like, openly talking about it. He's like, yeah, I just found out after.
I thought it was funny when Robbie Anderson, the wide receiver for the Panthers, when he was new to the Panthers, he didn't know who Sir Purr was, the mascot. Remember he asked, like, what is that, a bear? And the guy next to him, they were sitting on the bench, he was like, what is that, a bear? And the guy next to him was like, that's Sir Purr. And the guy next to him was even funnier because, like, of course not. It's Sir Purr.
Jeez.
Duh.
It's a little insulting.
But I feel like that's a little bit more excusable than not knowing that the guy you're having dinner with is the head coach. Did he think he was on Undercover Boss?
I don't know.
Canales is wearing like a Groucho Marx outfit. And at the very end, he's like, Deontay, surprise.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
Deontay's like, what? What? Yeah. I'm Dave Canales. Who's that?
All right.
I feel bad. Canales thought he was really pulling something off.
That's great. All right, best available. This draft last night played out fantastically for the Houston Texans, in my opinion. and it's pushed a bunch of guys down to day two. I think the Texans, I think if you're a Texan fan, you're going to be really happy with who the Texans could come away with here in day two. We'll tell you, give you some names coming up next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I was just telling you, like, this older guy, he was sitting next to me on the plane.
Yeah.
And for one, like, so there was nobody in the middle seat. I got like I know my United planes, and I got a bulkhead that had like unlimited leg space. It's better than first class in a lot of ways, especially if you have the seat next to you empty. Except that I had this older gentleman who had no respect for the headphones, no respect for my eyes closed, no respect for the hoodie up. He was going to talk to me when he wanted to talk to me.
Wow.
Pleasant older guy, but just, you know, and he was a little bit, he needed some help and assistance, you know. But then at one point during the flight, he dumped his entire Coke on his lap.
Well, that's that we call that karma for talking your ear off.
No. He wasn't a jerk at all. Like, he wasn't a bad guy, and he's not from Houston. Nobody worry about me. Like, so I went back and I got, you know, and I don't cross the curtain, Sean.
I know
I'm sitting there right behind first class.
Right.
I don't cross the curtain.
Okay.
I make my way back through the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me navigating the space with the other big guys. Who are, you know, like, they overflow onto the aisle.
Yep.
I don't know who I'm hitting with my ass as
right.
I'm walking through.
Right.
And I got a big wad of napkins to come back to him and then helped him delicately pat around his crotch area and everything.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah. And then, but it was, so anyway, I say all that to say that I didn't get the work done on the plane that I had planned on.
No, not at all.
Because I was trying to feign sleep half the time, and then I realized, oh, that's not helping either. I was basically a home health aide to this guy for 3 hours.
I was going to say, you had to go crotch area.
Oh, no. I ended up knowing that I had to talk to him. The wheelchair situation.
You're like a nurse.
The wheelchair situation was a little screwed up, too. So after I got off the flight, I had to go talk to the gate agent. I talked to the flight attendant, and then I went up to the gate agent talking about the guy in
7D. Like a jerk.
Oh, yeah, you are. Yeah,
that I said karma. He's in a wheelchair.
No, it was one of those things where there's no part of me that wasn't going to help the old guy.
Sure.
It's just, but yeah. I was fighting with the other side of me that was very much selfishly wanted to do the stuff I wanted to do.
If he were not in the physical situation he were in,
yeah,
would you have told him to shut the hell up at some point? Like, if he were just some businessman who was like slightly obnoxious, you know?
Oh,
like,
if he wasn't an older guy or something?
Yeah.
I would just be like, I got to get this. The worst part was that he had worked for United for like 40 years. So he was telling me about how he used to fly for free and now he's got to pay because it's like they don't have the empty flights. That part was interesting.
Yeah.
But I did genuinely have like work. I had like 2 hours of work I needed
for
to get
sure.
done.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't,
keeping you from
I
it.
Couldn't tell him like, hey, sorry, sir, but I got to work on this. I have a hard, like, I would have felt weird the entire time because he wasn't. It wasn't like he had a book to read or anything. The poor guy was just, I felt like he was a little nervous and out of sorts.
Are you okay with lying to him? Because I would have just made up like a dead relative or something like that. Like, look, I'm going, like, the reason I'm flying where I'm going to is because we've got a funeral coming up and I'm the executor and I've really got to get this stuff done because we got a big meeting when we land.
No, I can't.
When death's involved, I feel like it's he would understand that.
Yeah, but I can't lie.
Yeah,
like that's, yeah,
see, I could
that
totally
wouldn't be comfortable.
Do that. Yeah.
No, to be clear, he was just a pleasant older gentleman.
Sure.
It's a me issue where I have a hard time setting the boundaries sometimes with older people. I feel like I need to do anything they ask of
me. You are very friendly. There was a one time at Lizards that where that guy was there and you engaged him in conversation.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
all
you
of us,
and Amy were trying to ignore him like crazy.
Like crazy, because well, we've seen
you're
his
doing
act
the right
before.
Thing.
We've
oh,
seen his
you,
act
yeah.
before, and I'm like, oh, God. And then the guy's coming over and talking to Seth, and I'm like, this isn't going to end well. Because this guy usually starts skewing
this
political
wasn't an old
at
guy.
Some point. No,
yeah.
No, this is just a guy who is very lacking in self-awareness.
I would, and to be clear, I would have been fine if he went political.
Right.
But he went the old, like, you better open your eyes.
Right, right, right.
Because I didn't know of some arcane conspiracy theory that he brought up.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Honestly, I had to Google the conspiracy because he was talking like, I'm an idiot.
Literally
I'm just
told him
I'm
to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, you heard me. When you caught, I caught your attention. I was like, no,
yep.
you know. Leave.
Yeah.
You're not, no.
Seth,
get away from this table now.
Seth can be super friendly, but at times you, like on very specific occasions like that, 0 to 60.
It was when he said, you better open your eyes.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
we're not doing this. We're not.
You were
like
a hero.
Some
to get
semblance
that guy.
Of civility. Yeah.
Got him
oh, really? Like people in the bar were like, oh,
no, you're a hero to me and Amy to get him the hell away from the table. Maybe in the bar. Who knows?
He paid our tab.
He did.
Remember?
Yeah. Yes, he did. Now
turned
I remember.
Out he also hit a.
Yeah.
Terminal illness.
Yeah. Well,
he just always remember people are going through.
He's still hanging around. You know, he's still
not
that terminal.
Not terminal enough.
All right, let's get to the best available players.
I'm joking, everybody. I don't think he has a terminal illness.
No. As far as we know. So, best available. There's a bunch of dudes who have slipped down to the second round of the draft. Thanks to the NFL falling in love with offense and offensive players. Texans feel pretty set up at offense. I wouldn't obviously them drafting a player on offense in the second round wouldn't be a complete shocker, a wide receiver, maybe an interior offensive lineman, as you pointed out. But the names that sit here at defensive tackle and cornerback make me feel really excited about tonight.
And I would say, too, I would be surprised if they take a wide receiver this early. And yet, okay, so the Texans are at 42.
Yeah.
So they are the 10th pick in the second round.
Correct.
All right. I'll go through, honestly, I don't want to throw a bunch of names at everybody, like, we're not going to talk about each of these guys, but if you go down the line of just ESPN's list of best player available, this obviously isn't the same as the Texans, but Cooper DeJean, the defensive back out of Iowa, cornerback, some people might suggest maybe a safety, whatever. I'd be 100% cool with that. Johnny Newton, the defensive tackle, I'd be ecstatic about that. Kool-Aid McKinstry, the cornerback out of Alabama, hell yeah. Ednai Mitchell, if they chose to go wide receiver, poof, yeah, that's okay with me.
Yeah.
Ladd McConkey, ditto. Ennis Rakestraw, the cornerback. Keon Coleman, the wide receiver. Braden Fisk, the defensive tackle. Marshawn Neyland, and then Edgerrin Cooper. Like, the top 10 guys that are available, according to just this list right
here,
I am 100% A-OK with every single one of those guys going at 42. So I do feel like for however much the Texans might be aligned with what I would like for defensive guys or what have you, I think they're going to be – I think we'll be pleased with whoever they take at 42 if they stay there. Now, if they trade back, we might have issues.
Yeah. If they – right.
And then to be clear, there are a bunch of guys after that that I'm OK with too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I'm just saying that, like – worst case scenario, if the Texans board were exactly the same as ESPN's board, I think any one of those guys makes a lot of sense at 42.
The next seven guys include the names Jonathan Brooks, running back, Texas, Kamari Lassiter from Georgia, the corner, TJ Tampa, the corner from Iowa State, Chris Jenkins, the defensive tackle from Michigan, Mason Smith, whose name you brought up, is right there at 17 on best available. Javon Bullard is a really good safety out of Georgia.
Defensive guys that are lined up here, and remember, the defensive players didn't start going until the 15th selection in the draft.
Yeah.
So like I don't want to pull a Jack Easterby thing here and act like, well, it's really like having a late
really
first round pick.
Got the 18th pick overall, but way cheaper.
Right. Part of the reason that the defensive players didn't go as early is that there were not like a bunch of Will Andersons available this year. You know?
Right. Who's your crush? What's your dream scenario?
I'd say Johnny Newton. Johnny Newton, the defensive tackle,
is number two on this best available. Right.
He's not, in my mind, he's not as far ahead as, like, of the other defensive tackles than I think maybe some people have him. So, like, I would guess if I had to put it into tiers at defensive tackle right now, I would say Johnny Newton, Braden Fisk, Chris Jenkins, Michael Hall Jr., and Rook Aurora. It's three rows. There's not that much separation between any of them in my mind. And then there's two guys that don't quite.
By the way, real quick, I feel like one of them will be at 59.
Right. That's where I think. Now, like Johnny, I would put Johnny Newton and Braden Fisk just on athletic ability and upside, and maybe Chris Jenkins above the other guys. But, like, in that. It's a big mishmash of guys who don't have ideal size, but have A, upside athleticism, and B, they've all got motors.
Relentless.
Like I talked about this yesterday. I don't know what's gotten into this kids. These kids, whether maybe this is just the way they're raised these days. Maybe
cameras, dude. Cameras are rolling all the time.
ADHD meds, perhaps?
Something.
I don't know.
Who cares?
ADHD shortage did not affect the motors on these defensive tackles. I love them.
So,
there used to be so many squids at defensive tackle in the second round.
Squids.
And I'm looking at these guys. They all play their butts off.
Yeah.
Even Devondre Sweat plays his butt off. He just physiologically can only do it for so long.
Oh, yeah.
I feel good about all these kids. I would be fine with any of them.
Where's old T-Sweat on the best of? There he is, 29th on the best available.
Yeah, I wonder about him because he weighs 365 pounds and he really, really, really needs to weigh 345.
Right.
Even if you only platoon him, I'm watching him and it would have been okay in 2002.
Yeah.
You know, back in the days of Ted Washington and those guys, and I don't think there's necessarily, he needs to lose weight. And he doesn't look like... He's not sounded one bit like he has any interest in losing weight.
Tavondre Sweat is 29th on the best available list on ESPN. Michael Hall Jr., who you like from Ohio State, is 33rd. The Texans are sitting there at 86.
Yeah.
And they're both on the board. They haven't taken a defensive tackle yet. Do you want Sweat or do you want Hall?
Hall. Sweat. This is still
too scary for 86th overall.
This
is
the issue with the DUI for Tavondre Sweat is that it's not an isolated incident when it comes to perhaps a lack of discipline in his personal life. You know, he had to address his partying with the team and like make a committed effort to not party as much this season. And it worked out, but like between that, his flat out stubbornness and losing weight or playing at less than 365, all of that, teams are going to be nervous as hell that he comes, you know, and with even more money in his pocket.
Yeah.
In a city known for its restaurants is going to... If he came to Houston, I think keeping him below 400 would be a chore.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. On a scale of 1 to Kyle Hamilton, what's your Ravens fear factor on Tavondre Sweat?
Oh, yeah, because he would... I don't know. I think this is not the days of Tony Siragusa and Sam Adams.
Yeah.
And Sam Adams was super athletic, though, too. So it's not the days of Tony Siragusa.
I'm just talking in terms of like a guy who's got
would
some
work
warts,
out there. Yeah.
He's going to go there and he's going to turn into Haloti
Ngata.
Well,
okay.
Or
you know what
like
it is
that.
There? I don't know if I'd call it a fear factor. They're already an awesome defense.
Yeah.
And then it's almost a piece of like, yeah, look, we can shuffle him in for 10 plays a game when we need him. So I want somebody that's more versatile. Is a finishing piece or a situational guy, it can make sense.
Yeah.
I just worry about him for this team right now.
You asked for it, you got it. Are you asking the people what your finishing move should be if Pope Zaza embraced a WWE lifestyle?
Yeah.
At least two. There's a few, but the two I want to get to because we're up against it. Pope Zaza feels like a choke slam guy to me. Do you know what a choke slam is? Grab a guy by the neck, pick him up with one arm, and just throw him down on his back.
I did that to Peyton Manning. It was.
Of
the 17 and a half sacks I had in my career, that's the only one that I felt actually good about.
That neck's a big target, too.
That's right. 17 and a half sacks, everybody.
Big neck.
If you don't know much about football, just know this. That's a lot of sacks.
17 and a half.
That is a lot.
It's double digits.
That's basically...
You know how they talk about how important double-digit sacks are? Set that double-digit sacks,
That's man. Right. That's right.
17 and a half.
No, it was... go ahead.
Someone said Pope Zaza would just flick his opponent on the forehead.
I like
it just falls down. That's great.
Like the, what was Bruce Lee's thing? The three inch punch or whatever it was?
I don't know.
Hey, but Ben, what was Bruce Lee's thing?
Does Ben know? I have no idea.
Oh! The text line's going to tell us.
Oh, for sure.
He had some kind of punch that was just like, it was like 3 inches and he went,
Yeah. CJ Stroud was on a draft show on the Bleacher Report app last night. It was interesting. He was really good. He was well prepared. Did not show much emotion until this guy was drafted, and then he flipped the hell out. We've got that for you coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Day two of the draft is today. It's tonight at 6 p.m. Seth Payne, John Harris, Mark Vandermeer. They will be broadcasting live from the draft party tonight, right out there at George R. Brown.
I was listening to those guys last night, and I was jealous that I wasn't on in there with them. So
you should have done a run-in on your way home. From my place, you should have stopped at the studio.
Just down dropped in. Just actually run in on
that
him.
That could be, yes, that could have been Pope Zaza's first entree into the world of wrestling. Hit them all with chairs and grab a headphone, and you just do the rest of the draft.
The biggest thing that the only reason I was jealous was that I was leaving your place after the 14th pick.
Yeah.
After the 14th pick?
14th
pick. After the 14th pick.
Yep.
When the offensive tackle out of Oregon State was taken.
Yep.
And I got in my car and I was listening to the guys as Leatu Leatu was drafted by the Colts. And I know I could tell that John Harris and I felt the exact same thing. Like almost like we could write 3 paragraphs.
You could sense it.
And you would think one of us was plagiarizing the other. Mm-hmm. And it would obviously be me plagiarizing John because he knows all.
Clearly, yeah.
I like try to educate myself about the defensive linemen a good amount, but John like knows all of these guys very
well.
That
ain't even shady. But you I say clearly, like, Johnny's on another level.
By sheer luck, I think I happen to share the same opinion of Latu with him, which is that, man, there's so much to love about the kid, and he's so polished, and he just destroys college kids. But there's a certain lack of physicality in his game that stems from him having had a neck injury that kept him away from football 2 years. And it's like, it's glaring just how little appetite he has for violence. And he's also not, it's like if you have a karate instructor who's a black belt and has been doing it for 20 years, he's going to absolutely destroy novices, just absolutely destroy them. But if he goes up against a world-class athlete, it's a different scenario.
Yeah.
You know, if he goes up against a world-class black belt from somewhere else, and I feel like he might be, I think Latu might end up being kind of like one of these quadruple A baseball players.
A Fugazi black belt. A guy good enough to train, but not good enough to go fight.
The Astros used to have a bunch of quadruple A players. Yeah. They were awesome in triple A. Then they get up to the main, and you realize, like, oh, okay. They'd maximize their talents.
Some of them are on the team now.
Yeah. Well, John Singleton was the quintessential quadruple
Jake
A
Myers.
Player.
Yeah.
So I think that's where I don't worry as much about Latu going to the Colts. And at the same time, I really I love the kid because you can tell that he has obsessively worked on his pass rush arsenal. He just doesn't have power and violence in his game.
Put real simple, you'd rather he be a Colt than a Texan.
Yeah.
I think that's. I think
I mean, it was like, and I kind of just, I sense that John maybe felt the same way. I don't want to speak for John because he's still like, don't get me wrong, it's perfectly good for him to go where he did in the draft. There's just some, there's some question marks about him that are very understandable because he had this really bad neck injury that almost kept him from playing football. But when you watch him play, you see very much like, wow, this guy literally does not want to stick his neck into anywhere dangerous. Like, he plays incredibly upright and like just kind of like ducks his way into contact.
We're going to get to CJ Stroud here in just a second.
Yeah.
But I think you bringing up Latu, I think, accentuates in retrospect a year later how much sense the Will Anderson trade made.
Yeah.
That it was a 2-year window Nick was looking at, not just in the moment, in the night, oh, I got to have this guy.
That's true, yeah, because the edge rushers this year were not at the same level.
It was, I got to have this guy. Yeah. And oh, by the way, yeah, this guy's the first defensive player to go off the board. He goes at 15.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he were Will Anderson, he would have been gone long before 15. I promise you that. So I think that does really hammer home the point that Latu going at 15 and the first defensive player, and we're sitting here talking about these questions with him, and he had neck injuries and this and that. If you held off on getting an edge rusher the caliber of Will Anderson, it wouldn't have been there in this draft. And it helps that it turns out the first round pick you gave away was a 27th overall pick, not a top five like everybody thought it was going to be.
Right. Yeah, that's a whole.
That was the variable in all.
Yeah,
of
this year things could have gone way, way further south, obviously, if the team hadn't.
And won a bunch of games. Yeah. So C.J. Stroud is a big reason they won a bunch of those games. We're getting texts from people. Man, the Micah and C.J. draft cast was awesome. We watched a little bit of it. A lot of it is, or some of it is floating out now on social media in blurbs. This is the best one. This was C.J. Stroud reacting when Ricky Pearsall, the wide receiver from Florida, got picked by the 49ers with the 31st overall pick. Pearsall is a guy, experienced guy, an older guy, had a big year for Florida this last year. He's like a souped-up slot guy, you know, kind of like Tank Dell type guy. CJ,
don't tell CJ that he's just a slot guy.
Right. Well, you're going to hear that, but this is what you need to. So you need to know about this audio is that when you hear the host Adam Lefko kind of pointing out like, oh, sorry, CJ, that was your guy. CJ is literally like rolled over, face in the cushion, like can't believe that Ricky Pearsall just got picked on a broadcast where CJ spent most of the time pretty stone-faced and doing a good job analyzing things.
For the San Francisco 49ers with the 31st pick, the Niners select. Wow. Your guy.
Well, we probably wasn't going to get a receiver, but hey, shout out to Pearsall.
That was the first reaction I've seen you do that.
Damn, I wasn't even on their radar. Right. I'm happy for him, though, because he want to go in the first round and get some more money. I talked to him a couple times, man. Congrats, bro. That's big time. Bro, he's elite. You'll see.
He gets
open. Especially
in
that offense, man. Kyle's going to dial it up for him.
Kyle,
that's
will.
Why I feel like he's going to fit in our system.
4.41 with a 1.49 10-yard split.
Oh, he's
running.
Nasty, bro.
Well, if you give him a free release, he gets open.
I don't care if you press him. You put on the Missouri game, they press man a lot, bro. Like Tank has it, like that. Just that little quick, little hezzy. Like, I'm not saying like I'm some guru or some receiver, like goat that just. But I know routes when I see them. I know football players.
Well, you've played with like five Pro Bowl wide receivers at this.
Exactly. Point. So like when I watched him, like at first I was like, okay, yeah, he's good because I seen him at Arizona State. And then his first year at Florida was okay. But this last year, bro, he put it together. Hmm. And, bro, when I tell you, I don't know what, like it's like Tank. Like, you can't just put one, like, it's everything combined. Hmm. Like, I just text my boy, one of my best friends. He's always with me. And I told him, like, dang, they got Pearsall. I wanted him bad. Like, man. Dude. Especially, like, before we didn't know we were going to get Steph. Pearsall was my guy. Like, that's the one I wanted. So that's a big time get.
Is there anything you can take away from that audio we just played as far as like how tonight might play out?
Okay, so I couldn't tell whether he said it as an actual point or just kind of like in him soothing himself when he said we're probably going to take a wide receiver anyway.
Yeah,
or
he
said we're probably going to get a wide receiver.
I watched it and I
however he
tell.
Said, yeah, it was really hard to say like whether he's like consoling himself.
Trying to talk it into existence.
Yeah. Or if he's at, I'd be really surprised given that. It seems like, for the most part, Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans are the only two guys that know a lot of stuff about what the Texans' plans are. I'd be really surprised if they actually tipped their cat.
Told CJ, don't worry, we're getting your receiver.
Yeah, I don't think they tipped their hand to CJ at all. So I think CJ was more just likely talking about that. I think the fact that...
Or was he trying to send a little subtle message to Nick and D'Amico? Like,
oh,
that's all right, we're going to get a receiver. Like, oh, okay, well, now our guy wants a receiver. We, you know, I don't know.
I told him to get Tank Dell last year, even though it's not actually how it went. But, you know, he put in...
I love the narrative.
He put in a gird. They asked, after they drafted CJ, they asked him about Tank Dell. And really, if anything, they also... The way Caserio presented it, it sounded like they were looking for mostly intel on what other teams might be drafting Tank Dell.
Yeah. Well, they did end up moving up four spots to go get him.
Yeah, I think the Texans liked Tank Dell already. The way the story's been told is that CJ, like, endorsed Tank Dell, and that's what it was. The way Caserio told the story, it sounded more like they were trying to get... see if Tank would tell CJ, like, who was talking to him, if they said, if a team told him they were about to draft him, whatever. The fact that CJ just casually brought up the Florida-Missouri game, when Missouri played Florida late in the year, after Florida was already a non-factor, Missouri wasn't a non-factor.
Yeah.
So he might have been watching just for the, because it was a late season Missouri game. But yeah, it wasn't like he just was casually thinking about this. He had receipts of the plays and games he was specifically
beating press man coverage.
Talking about, yeah, yeah.
He may have been scouting already. That's just such good audio, man. That is so good. CJ was really good on there last night. Very well prepared. Text message. I've been going back and forth between y'all and Atlanta Sports Radio because I'm flabbergasted the Falcons pick Michael Penix Jr. I'm so entertained. Listening to the host freak out. Okay, that answers one of my questions. What are they saying in Atlanta about that? Two takeaways, the texter says. Having no first-round pick when you already have a franchise quarterback is so relaxing. That is true. You and I were just sitting there, man, eating those chicken wings last night.
Just
watching guys come off the board.
You can observe.
Number two, when the Falcons...
There's a good ratio of celery there, too, though, by the way, Sean, last night.
I replaced the fries with all celery.
Oh, you did? Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I actually, because that did help my mental health last night. I was like, oh, you know what? I mean, I actually didn't have that many wings because I was alternating celery and wings.
Yeah. I replaced the fries with all celery. I know people will make fun of me, but you know, I got to watch my girlish figure.
Mm-hmm.
Number two takeaway, when the Falcons...
I got to watch your girlish
figure. When the Falcons picked... Can keep my eyes off me. When the Falcons picked Penix Jr., I could hear Rich Eisen yelling, what is up with that?
Honestly, though... Because I think some people might think, all right, well, we had the one listener that said, look, they're probably going to win too many games over the next couple of years with Kirk Cousins in that awful division to be picking high enough to take a quarterback. To which I reply, like, you are banking on success that hasn't actually happened yet. And potentially cutting yourself off from some of that success. Like, this success that you'd like to have first has to happen. Some of which can happen by way of taking one of these many wide receivers or this tight end or anybody else who's available right now to work with your aging quarterback.
Crazy.
But also, yeah, if that's what your concern is, take a guy in the third round.
Right.
Take a Spencer Rattler, something like that. Don't turn down a chance to be good right now for some and it's because this isn't even thinking long term. This is thinking that you're playing five-dimensional chess and being a galaxy brain, like, well, of course, we'll probably win two Super Bowls in the next 3 years. We need to have a succession plan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get over yourself, Atlanta.
Yep. All right, I've found two day two mock drafts that are out. One on The Athletic, Dame Brugler, and one on CBSSports.com. If C.J. Stroud is looking to get a receiver, Nick Caserio may need to do some work today, according to these two mock drafts. And who do they have the Texans taking at 42 and 59 and 86? We'll run through it coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.